Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Marcus Cantu. He is one of the owners of the Cantu Group. He's out of Dallas. They bring spirits to the U.S. market. Now, spirits, not in the Agenoi way, as people know, and I explained it to Marcus earlier, universal mind, spirits, and angels. Not that kind of spirits. It's the spirits you drink. One of them specifically is tequila, which is something I love. A little ice in there. Oh, wait, let me continue on here. Hang on a minute. They help brands break into the U.S. market, and I want to talk to them all about it and all this other stuff. Marcus, thank you for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Philip. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I always ask my guests, you didn't wake up one day and said, I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to market tequila and spirits. What was the serendipities? What were the accidents or coincidences that happened in your life that turned you to where you're at now? I mean, where were you before? And then suddenly I'm like, oh, I guess this is pushing me that way. Let's see where it goes. And you ended up where you're at now.
Absolutely. Yes. So, I actually come from a finance background, so nothing related to tequila whatsoever. So it just so happened that when we went down to Mexico, I think it was about a couple of years now, so almost 2 years ago, we got introduced to the owners of a distillery. The distillery is called La Herencia. And while we were there, you know, we were speaking with the owners, and they've been trying to get their tequila into the States for some time now. And we kind of saw it as a family business opportunity to start an import company and help them bring their tequila into the U.S. and help them start selling it here. So we've been on a two-year journey. And I never thought I would be into the tequila world, but definitely become a passion project for us. We've definitely fallen in love with the whole tequila making process and just the people down there in general. And we're having a fun time doing it.
Yeah, I love that. So did you accidentally fall into it when you were there? Or did something happen because you were sending the finance? Did it just kind of change in the way you looked at it?
Mutual connections that we had. So family, friends of ours, or people that we knew.
Oh, got
also
it.
Also knew the owners of a distillery down there. So that's
got it. So, I love that stuff.
Nothing finance related, but yeah, we, I guess through mutual acquaintances is how we got connected.
I love that thing. And talking to the conscious community audience right off a little bit here, it's like you're listening to what he's saying. You know, I always say that no one does it on their own. You think you might, but good luck with that. And when you follow the different things, and this is spiritual philosophy, spirits, angels, and all the stuff that the audience has heard a million times, and the coincidence, serendipities, and accidents start popping up. That's why I ask that question every time for anybody I'm interviewing, because it's always interesting. I want to learn what you have done and why you did it and where that came from and how you're sticking with it. And it's been, so you've been doing it for a couple of years. Where have the brands and stuff that you're working with, have they expanded? How have you expanded that here in the U.S.?
Yeah, they're definitely growing at a pretty rapid pace. So not sure if you know, but tequila, I believe, is probably the fastest growing spirit in the United States. So tequila and mezcal are on a straight incline trajectory. So it's definitely a great market to be in. But as far as our expansion goes, a big part of it is education. So there's a lot of tequila brands that are out there. They all do things a little bit differently. So we launched our first state here was in Texas. So we started with our home state here. Big tequila, you know, crowd, obviously, here in Texas, being on the border of Mexico. Over the years, we are now officially in 5 states. So we've grown from Texas to Florida to Illinois, Wisconsin, and now we are in California. So over the 2-year time frame, we've grown over into 5 states at this point in time.
So obviously, your financial background gives you a good, solid understanding of how to run a business.
Sure.
I mean, because what's one of the things that I've talked with other people about? I'm sure you probably already know. Businesses fail within the first, 2-3 years? And they don't really fail because of bad ideas. They fail because they ran out of money.
Money, sure.
And it's interesting. So with the group that you have, who's involved with this? Who's doing it? It's not just you.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty small team of us. So there's about 5 or 6 of us. And it's a family-owned business. So it's me and my 2 sisters, Sarah and Jeanette. We got my wife, Megan, And then we also hired on our first sales director here, Matt.
Very cool.
So yeah, he kind of travels, you know, most of the states that we're not in, like Texas. So you'll kind of find him up in, you know, Illinois, Wisconsin, Florida mostly. But yeah, our team is growing as we're going into more states. But yeah, I mean, we're a small family company here out of Texas.
How are you getting into bars? Is that hard? I know nothing about this business. Is that hard to get into?
Believe it or not, every state is different. So we've learned that over the last couple of years. Every state has their own rules, their own laws. So for example, in Illinois, you can walk right into a bar, show them the tequila, they like it, you can sell it directly to them.
Oh.
Versus in a state like Texas, Texas bars and restaurants have to buy it from a liquor store. So if you go into a bar or a restaurant, they like it, they got to order it from wherever liquor store that they get their orders from. So every state has their own rules and laws. And that's something that we got to learn as we're expanding of how to get product into different locations. So that could be a little bit tricky, but yeah, I mean, it's the fun part of doing it. So every state's got their own little rules that you have to go by. But yeah, we're making it work.
How are you doing with the marketing stuff? What exactly are you doing for getting that type of word out with what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, I would say a big part of it is word of mouth. I mean, we have two brands that we represent. They're both from the same distillery. So we have the first brand is Supremacia. And then our other luxury brand that we have is our ultra premium tequila, which is Rey del Mundo. So I would say they're both very different markets, both phenomenal tequilas. But so depending on which brand that we're marketing, I would say they're a little bit different as far as the target audience, as far as who we're trying to reach. But we do everything from obviously word of mouth. Tastings is probably a big part of the tequila world. So obviously people see it, they want to taste it. And, you know, tastings is where we do, I would say, a good amount of our sales. But we obviously do social media, prime platforms like this.
Right.
You know, anything just to get the brand out there in front of people.
How are you doing? What could you tell the audience about doing tastings? I mean, where do you choose to do them? How could somebody find out instead of buying a whole bottle? Not that they wouldn't like it, but, you know, people, you know, it's like when you go for a glass of wine, they're like, I just have a little bit to see if this wine is good or not.
So we do a couple different events. So, for example, I think in Houston, Texas this weekend, we're doing like a women's dinner event. So, you know, people that come to that dinner are obviously going to get a 5 or 6 course meal and they're going to have it paired with some of our tequilas that they have. But in addition, I would say the most common way is in the liquor store. So I know in Illinois, I think Benny's is probably a pretty large liquor store.
It's huge.
Almost everywhere.
It's huge, yeah.
So we are in Benny's and we have tastings in the store. So usually on a Friday or Saturday.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Usually 5 to 8, you'll probably see somebody there at a little table doing tastings of something. And that's probably the most common place that you'll walk into the store, get the sample and taste some of the tequila and decide if you want to purchase it at that point.
How is it we're getting into grocery stores?
Yeah, so that kind of the same deal. So it depends on the size of the grocery store. So some have 2 or 3 locations, some have 10 to 15. And I'll give you an example of one of our largest grocery stores in Florida, which is Winn-Dixie. We're almost in 187 locations. And I think we're almost in every Winn-Dixie with our Supremacia brand.
Whoa!
So it depends on the size of the store that you get in. But you know, that's where we obviously are able to negotiate different contracts and deals and what we can offer them, that which will determine how many stores that you can roll out to and how you can participate in those store locations. So yeah, Florida and the Winn-Dixie's is
a
great client of ours that we're really happy to have Supremacia.
How do you help brands? So I'm a brand, and is it just tequila, by the way? Is it anything else?
So we primarily focus on just tequila at this point in time.
Okay. So I'm a tequila, another tequila brand. I come to you and go, Marcus, you know what? We're growing, but we want to grow in the U.S. We want to get things back. Because correct me if I'm wrong. It's like champagne. You can't say it unless it's from France. You cannot say tequila unless it's from Mexico, right?
Yep. And specifically from 5 different approved states within Mexico for it in order to be called tequila. So yeah, there's 5 states that it has to be made in order to be called tequila. But yeah, the first step is us looking at that brand, seeing what their current marketing package is, how they bottle things. Then we obviously look at the next step, which is the import side of things. Are there items and things that we can do to help save them money on the import process? And I would tell you a lot of the times that there is. So there's a lot of big companies that will nickel and dime you for all types of fees, storage, I mean, you name it. And being a small family company going through that process our first year, you know, we've learned that we could really probably cut a lot of those costs for new brands or existing brands trying to import their products into the US, I think we can really streamline that process for them and at least save them money on that side of it. So that's a pretty huge thing for any new brand or existing brand, is because if you can save them money on the import side, as it gets down to their final bottle price where it's on the shelf,
right,
any money that you save along the way can typically have a positive impact on that final bottle price.
So you had to go through that whole process and procedure of figuring out how that breakdown works. And you say it's different depending on where you're doing it.
Yeah, it's different. Where you're doing it, where you're importing from, where is it ultimately traveling to, taking things into account like freight and things like that. Then as we grow as an import company, we obviously make more connections and more relationships. And that's what will also help us streamline a lot of that process. I would say there's definitely things that we can do for most brands or even new brands to really streamline that cost or cut down on some of those costs on the import side. And then once it's here in the US, really how to market and sell based on what your brand is, to finding the right areas in the US or the right demographics, where to promote, where to sell, what type of events to get it in. So that's kind of the second component that we do. Because I would say selling tequila takes a lot of promotion and a lot of boots on the ground types of efforts to get it moving.
Yeah, because social media, yeah, but then did you ever think of doing those like coupon books, or do those things work? Because, I don't know about you guys, so we get these envelopes and, it's like coupons. It's a local company here in Illinois. They've been around for a million years, I guess. And they have like coupons and stuff, but I don't know if that would even take advantage of that. So you have to be extremely creative in understanding that you can't do just one thing. You have to do dozens and dozens of things. So you're always doing ads. Do you have to do the Google ads stuff, or do you just kind of do it in a more analog, but more of a generic way there where you could just get it out there? Because that's a cost.
Sure. I would say all of the above. So for each brand, sometimes we will do a wide net at first and really see what works for that brand, where you see, so everything has a different ROA to it, so it's really just figuring out what's the best avenue to take with each brand. Right now, social media is very big, with the influencers, that's an easy and a great way to get it out there, that, you're able to work with the influencer that might have a million people that follow them, and they can make a cocktail video or showcase your tequila, and that just gets it to a whole nother audience. Sometimes that's more cost effective than running a big commercial ad or doing something like that. It's just targeting the consumer directly versus, via somebody like that. I would say we do the full spectrum from, Facebook, social media, all different types of advertisements, dinner promotions, discounts within the certain liquor stores. I would say we do it all just to kind of see what works in different areas. So,
I saw some videos that you have. Who did those videos? Is that you guys?
Yep. So yeah, I would say our team has done all of our videos so far.
Wow. So you're basically, not to demean what you guys are doing with the tequila, but you're a marketing company. You're all about marketing.
In essence, absolutely.
Yeah. And what's interesting about this and how you're communicating through marketing and through a passion, at least I don't know if you said it during or before the microphone came on, it's a passion project for you guys. If you don't love what you're doing, and that's what it's all about, that's one of the parts of the philosophy. If you don't know the conscious and the subconscious, the negative, the positive, how are you consciously communicating? If you're going around and you're making a living and you're doing this or that, you're whatever you are, and you want to be a shoe repairman and you're miserable, then quit what you're doing. Obviously, don't do it right away. You guys had to sit down, you made a business plan, you tried to figure out who's got the strengths, who's got the weaknesses. So you've done this for 2 years. How long did it take you to get to the point where you actually had a big contract with one of these, like Binnie's or restaurants or whatever?
That's kind of tough to say, because I would say within a year, and each day we've gotten big clientele from it. So within 1 year, we've kind of targeted who the big buyers are, the big stores. And we kind of do the full spectrum. Obviously, we want to get into a lot of the mom and pop local stores around the corner. And then we get the medium sized stores. And obviously, we want to be in the big chains eventually, just because they do see more volume. There's a lot of people that go to them, whether it's for lower prices, more choices that they have there. So, I'm sure you walk through Binnie's. They have almost every
billion that
you can think of there. So We really strive to be in the mall to just give people, no matter where they're at, they can find our bottles there.
Well, what's interesting is we go to Costco. I mean, we're not the only ones. And they got, there's so much there, and it's not just their brand. When we shop at Trader Joe's and other places that have their name on it, but we already know they're a manufacturer doing it. Does that kind of work in that field? Like when a Costco or something like that is making, I don't know if you know, I'm just asking. When you do that, it says Costco name, but isn't that basically just a brand that's doing it for them?
Yes. So my personal opinion, you know, we really try not to bash other brands that are out there.
No, I didn't mean that.
But basically what I was going to say is, you know, my point is to always, I always tell people, try different things and, you know, drink what you love. So if you think it tastes good, then go for it. Our biggest thing is education and showing people why we think our tequila might taste better or is better than other brands. So, you know, there are a lot of big brands that are out there that are, they're mass produced. In order to do so, they might have to cut some corners along the way as far as how they cook the agaves, how they might add stuff to their tequila.
Good point.
And in our opinion, that makes it taste different. Ours is made more traditionally. It's not owned by a big corporation. You know, this is a true Mexican-owned and women-owned brand. So our job is just getting out there with education and showing people the way that our tequila is made, how it's made, where it comes from, and why it's so different from other brands, and why you should try our tequila, versus maybe somebody else.
We go to our farmer's market during the summer, of course, and then during the winter, they come once a month. And I like eggs, and I like my meat, and my fish, and chicken. I like all sorts of foods that we eat. And when you get the eggs, I have a reason why I'm telling you this. I mean, they're yellow. I mean, they're dark yellow. And you go somewhere else, and they're like white. And you start learning, and I'm not bashing anybody. It's your choice. Whatever you want to do is fine with me. But I like having to know that I want to know what the animals or whatever you're eating, whether it's that or you're even a vegetarian, how's it being grown? Because you're putting that inside you. So I'm concerned about what goes inside my body. Well, first of all, find out what goes inside their body of everybody else out there, including the lettuce they're growing. So to your point, with the tequila, it is obviously taste. But when you understand how it's done, I can. So for me, vodka, tequila, whiskey, that type of stuff, I can tell right away if I like it because it burns. For me, that's my. I'm uneducated in this, but if it burns, it's usually something I got when I was in college because it was cheap, which is fine. With wine, I know it'll taste really bitter, but for hard liquor, I'll know right away for myself. And that's more an acquired taste. And for tequila, I sometimes like it a little bit more, the word is not probably right, but pungent, a little bit stronger. But sometimes I like the sweeter one. Because for me, when I have a glass of whatever I'm drinking, it's not so much the mood, but it's also the weather. Because when it's springtime and I'm like, all right, I'm having a tequila. Or when it's the wintertime, I'll have a little glass of wine. But later, maybe I'll have a little, because I also use it for, you know, if I'm like sipping it after dinner. So
it really, and
how you consciously communicate is how you're doing that right now. And how you consciously communicate in your mind after you have a little drink, it relaxes you. I like to have a glass of wine or a glass of tequila or a glass of vodka, whatever I'm drinking, to relax and celebrate my day. I'm not doing it to escape anywhere. I'm doing it to going, you know what, it's been a great day. And I'm not thinking about it. I'm like, I think I'll just sip it. Because for me, I like having it like an hour or so before I have dinner. There was a story my mom used to tell. Her father used to own he was a butcher. This is a long, long time ago. And she used to tell me this story that when her dad came home on an empty stomach, he would drink a shot of tequila or whiskey, sit down, open the paper, and listen to watch the wrestlers on TV. This is going back a long time ago. But my mom always said that. And when she got older, she realized she liked to sip it. And my grandma, what the other story is, my grandmother died when she was 99. She'd go, Philly, I'd like to have a little sip of your liquor. That wasn't a sip. She took the whole damn thing. But It's good. It's a good way of communicating something to change something in a way that's positive, I believe, with understanding, because the tastings are another story, because that seems to be big in restaurants, really big with the tastings now. You know, you see that platter coming out and they have little things of whiskeys and or tequilas or wines or whatever they do. They do that with the, they call them flights, right? Yep. And they do that with the desserts now. So I kind of like where that whole thing is going, because you want to be able to attract people to come in, because sometimes you get something, you don't like it, but those little flight things, you can taste them, like it's not bad, it's not horrible, but you're going, oh, I like that and I like that better. One of the problems I always had was because there's so many wines, tequilas, whiskeys, I asked the restaurant and they have no clue how to get it. And I started taking pictures of it. And the next thing I know, like, so for you, after people are listening to this podcast episode, how can they say, oh, you know, this sounds really good, I think I want to try it. How can they get a hold of you? What can they do? You know, and I know there's going to be links on here, but anything you suggest or anything you say that they can go, hey, you know what, I think I want to try this. What can I do?
Yeah, I would say the first step is come follow us on our social media platforms to see where we're growing to, what stores we're in. So on most of our social media platform groups, we're at Cantu Group. So that's CANTU GROUP, and come follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, you name it. We're on most social media platforms. On all of our platforms, we have little tabs that show all the locations that we're in. So depending on what states you're in, you know, you can find us, you know, what restaurants, what bars, what liquor stores that we're at.
Oh,
so
cool.
we try to highlight all those places that you can find us. You know, I know you have a big audience in Illinois. So I would say, you know, some of our biggest places there, I think we got Moriano's is a big liquor store there.
Oh.
And then we also have Benny's, which is obviously a big chunk of Illinois. So you can easily find us there. And then we also have a couple online platforms. So you can find us at Reserve Bar. And we actually created a special code for you and your guests. So if you go to reservebar.com, which is the website where you can pretty much order any type of spirit, whiskey, tequila, wine, you name it, you can have it delivered right to your front door. But we created a code for you guys that's RDM, that's short for Rey Del Mundo. So RDM10 for $10 off, and you can try any one of our expressions. But Reserve Bar is a great place. So if you don't want to go out, you can have it delivered right to your front door. So that's a code that we created for you and your listeners.
And take a look at everything underneath where you're listening to your podcast, wherever it's at, and click on it, because there's other things that he might be offering to my listening audience, and it's really good. Are you seeing Del Mundo? What is that name?
You said so Rey Del Mundo in Spanish means King of the World.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, okay. Rey Del Mundo is King of the World, and the owner, I would say the person who created the brand, is also the owner of the distillery down there, and her name is Esmeralda Mendoza. And so, yeah, she's the owner, brand owner, and she's actually the owner of the distillery. So it's a pretty big, you know, she's definitely leading the way down there. You know, as far as there's not too many women that own distilleries down there. So she's in a great group of people that are, and they really make some fantastic tequila there in the Highlands of Holy Stuff.
Very cool. I love this story. So, Marcus, I want to thank you again for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Everybody check out, go to his website. You'll see the links underneath this, and just check out what's going on. He's got other things to offer. And again, I appreciate you being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Philip.
Absolutely. And remember, to my conscious community audience, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at ConsciousCommunicationPodcast.com.